darkness at thy speaking, it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to the Epistle of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of the realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sin? But in these sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to you to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in the sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their heart and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It might seem strange and even offensive, yes, offensive, to us as modern readers, but the people of the Old Testament, they worshiped, they praised, and received from the Lord God through a sacrificial system. As we page through the Old Testament, we see these somewhat foreign practices such as burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, and so forth. All of these strange rituals were basically the sacrifices and offerings of things such as bulls and goats, sheep, turtle doves, flour with olive oil, grains, and yes, even pigeons. But more specifically, what were these sacrifices and offerings like? Imagine for a moment, if you will, the combination of a church, a slaughterhouse, and an open-air kitchen with a butcher/pastor, that's a butcher-pastor, working in the midst of all of this. This very interesting combination of that church, that slaughterhouse, and an open-air kitchen was not a creative arrangement for a reality television show, but the way that the Lord had orchestrated to slaughter animals and prepare them as food for the people while in the midst of worship. Truly, these rituals, they took place in the midst of the people of Israel and were conducted by priests. This is how it was in the Old Testament times, especially as we see it in the book of Leviticus. By the way of example, during the Old Testament times, people, they would bring an animal such as a bull or a sheep or a goat,
and the animal would stand calmly before the priest. That is, until the priest would place his hand upon the animal's head, confessing the sins of the people on top and onto this animal. After the sins were transferred upon the animal through confession, the priest would nimbly swing the blade through the animal, thus killing it on behalf of the people's sins. Surely, the innocent animal was killed in the place, keep in mind, in the place of another, and the blood of that animal, it interceded for life, life of the guilty. Keep in mind that these sacrifices were not to be some sort of food for God, and they were not some sort of gift given to God to woo him or to make him dance, but rather it was a sacrifice that visibly demonstrated that sin was and is a very serious business. The sacrifice showed how sin was placed on an innocent and clean animal, an animal that would die in the place of sinful people. It was a life given into death for the sake of making a payment for sin. All that being said, in most cases, the animal that was sacrificed was actually prepared and given to the people afterwards for meals, much like a modern-day congregational barbecue. The reason why we're contemplating this tonight is that we are focusing on the role of the Old Testament priest. Last week, we focused on the Old Testament office and role of prophet, and this week, we're looking at the office and role of priest. The Old Testament priest was a prominent role in the Old Testament because priests, they functioned as a representative of the people when they offered gifts of sacrifice for sins on behalf of the people in relation to God. Priests like Aaron of the Old Testament continually offered up goats and other animals as a substitute so that through these means the forgiveness of sins could be distributed to the people. That's right, we would say through these sacrifices, the Lord did deliver relief to the Old Testament people. Their sins were forgiven on the basis of God's word attached to these sacrifices. These sacrifices, they functioned much like our sacraments today. These sacrifices not only showed how a sinful people could approach a holy God, but as previously mentioned, they were a way that the Lord expiated the sin of the people. They were the way that the Lord delivered the people relief and absolution for their sins. So that does bring up an interesting question for us tonight. Why do we not continue to have these same Old Testament sacrifices today? Should we maybe do a remodel of Zion Lutheran Church, maybe remodel our sanctuary, maybe add a kitchen next to the altar? Where do we put the butcher block? Shall we move the pulpit for that? Do I, as a pastor, need to go to butchery school or maybe hone in those meat skills that I acquired from working at the Walmart meat department? Do you need to start raising bulls and goats and sheep in your backyards for the weekly sacrifice and bring them each and every Sunday? Blessed saints, no, we do not. For our epistle reading tonight supplies us a different response. In our reading, we hear that Jesus is our high priest, which is such good news. We hear that Jesus, he acts on behalf of mankind, on behalf of you, just like the high priest Aaron did for the people of Israel. However, as we heard in our epistle reading here from this evening, Jesus is no ordinary high priest. He is greater than the priests of the Old Testament, for he does not offer up sacrifices over and over and over and over and over and over and over on your behalf, but rather he offers up only one, yes, one perfect and one complete sacrifice for the sins, not only for you, but for the entire world. What was that one perfect, complete, and supernatural sacrifice? Was it some super bull or some super sheep? No, it was not. that one supernatural, incredible, sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole entire world was himself. Indeed, he offered and shed not the blood of bulls and goats, a sacrifice that would happen over and over, but he offered up himself once and for all. The reason why? The reason why the blood of Christ is sufficient. It exceeds the blood of bulls and goats and sheep in the Old Testament. It's that Christ's blood has this immeasurable, redeeming value, not due to the amount, but due to its distinctive characteristics of being shed by the Son of God himself. In a word, the sacrificial system of the Old Testament not only pointed forward to the bloody sacrifice of Christ on the cross, but it also delivered to the people of the Old Testament what Christ would soon accomplish for them as the true Lamb of God. Furthermore, the reason why Jesus is so much more than the Old Testament priests is that the priests of the Old Testament were sinners who had to offer up sacrifices not only for the people that they served, but also for themselves as well. Thus, the Old Testament priests were not the Savior, but rather they were the ones who needed a Savior like those they served. They needed Jesus. Like a funnel, my friends, the Old Testament sacrifices in the Scriptures, they lead us to Mount Calvary, where ultimate blood was sacrificed, blood that poured from Jesus' cross, blood from God's Lamb who took all the sins of the world upon himself. Hear the good news tonight. He bled, he died, and made payment for you. Dear friends, you do not need a priest to offer up sacrifices every single year on your behalf, for your great priest, Jesus Christ, offered himself up once and for all for you. Fear not, your sins, my friends, have been purged. They have been washed and they have been cleansed by Christ, the Lamb of God. You have a sole priest who reconciles you by his body and his blood. Christ shed blood on your behalf. Surely satisfaction for all of your sins was accomplished by your high priest who was the sacrifice. He now continually applies the benefits of this sacrifice to you in holy baptism, in his holy supper, and his word, which are all for you. Merciful Jesus, thank you for being my high priest and my sacrifice. For in you I have complete and total forgiveness of all of my sins. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our prophet, our priest, and our king. Hallelujah, hallelujah.